Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, overnight in the United States, Vice President Kamala Harris has vowed a tougher approach to migration. She's defended her approach to green issues and the accusation that she has changed her position on matters since becoming vice president. This was all in her first interview since becoming the Democratic nominee for US president. She did that interview with CNN and her choice of vice president, Tim Walz.
How should voters look at some of the changes that you've made in your policy?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act. We have set goals for the United States of America and by extension the globe around when we should meet certain standards for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, as an example. That value has not changed. My value around what we need to do to secure our border, that value has not changed. I spent two terms as the Attorney General of California prosecuting transnational criminal organizations, violations of American laws regarding the passage, illegal passage of guns, drugs and human beings across our border. My values have not changed.
Well, for more on this, we're joined now by Scott Lucas, Professor of International Politics at UCD's Clinton Institute and US pollster John Zogby. And Scott, to you first. How would you characterise this interview? I mean, some of the coverage and analysis I've read this morning suggests that without saying very much, she's out the gap, but tougher tests are coming.
I think probably two words, Claire. First is solid. It was a challenging interview from Donna Bash of CNN, especially on issues like the economy, immigration, and the environment. And I think Harris came off nothing flashy. There's no dramatic policy announcements here. But she was able to say, no, I haven't significantly changed. For example, on the environment, yes, in 2019, she did come out and say, maybe you ban fracking, the processed extract oil. But she had changed that position by 2020 because Joe Biden opposed the ban. And she's maintained that through the Biden administration and beyond. On immigration, I think she was quite effective in knocking back the idea that she's responsible for the border crisis by saying, look, you know, I'm quite tough on transnational gangs, those who try to smuggle people in. And it's Donald Trump who sabotaged, you know, the bipartisan agreement with the Republicans in, earlier this year that could have dealt with issues on the border. But I think beyond that, the second word is probably values. And you notice how she kept hitting that word. And that idea of values is not just simply to say, look, you know, we adjust policies, but we always have these values that are there. It's to contrast with Donald Trump. And as she put it, I think probably one of the key takeaway lines, she effectively said, when you become president, you don't do it to tear people down. You build it to lift people up. Mm-hmm. And that's the tone that the Democrats will want to keep going through November.
Yeah, I mean, you always wonder, don't you? I wonder what the advice is that she's getting going into that interview. And you get the sense that it is to keep the ship steady. Things are going well. Don't deviate too much from the message. You don't have to wow anybody here, but you need to not scare the horses.
Yeah, you know, the point here is that in 2016, and the Democrats were really conscious of what happened in that unprecedented election, where Donald Trump just harassed, bullied, literally stalked Hillary Clinton across a debate stage to the point where, you know, what was a fairly shoddy Democratic campaign was lost when Clinton looked rattled and couldn't mobilize her voters. Here we are years later. So not just Harris, but Tim Walz, who did very, very well last night, are there to say, look, he's not going to rattle us. He's not going to take us off our game. We are going to continue to go high while he goes low. And then I think you get that one, again, another key line, which is when she was asked by Donna Bash about Trump's race baiting, when he said, you know, she's not really black, she simply said, next question. Mm-hmm. So you diminish Trump. You diminish Trump as a person while continuing to highlight the threat that Trump would pose to America versus the hope that they would give Americans.
Yep, she did shut that down. Anything on gender or race, she wasn't going there. But when she was asked about Joe Biden's decision to pull out of the race, she gave what was described in the New York Times as a rambling zigzag answer. And she has been guilty of that in the past, going off on a tangent but not really saying anything. That must be a concern for the Democrats going into the debate with Donald Trump, because that's not going to work on the 10th of September.
Well, I think on the immediate point, I didn't really find it too much of a ramble. I kind of disagree with the Times. I think, you know, but that aside, we have different impressions. I think what she did in that answer about how she reacted with Joe Biden, it also matched up with what she and Walt said about their experiences at the convention when they brought family into it. You'll note that Harris talked when she got that call from Joe Biden that she was in a family situation, you know, that she is, you know, a stepmom, that she is a person who has the nieces, has the nephews. She reinforced that by talking about the fact that she had one of, you know, small girl who is one of her relatives, the one in pigtails, who provides an iconic photograph of watching her at the convention and that moment of pride. And then you get Tim Walz talking about his son in another iconic moment, just shouting with this incredible enthusiasm, "That's my dad." That sense of pride in family, again, they want to highlight that as a contrast with Trump, who has, let's say, a very checkered background when it comes to family issues.
All right, let's bring John in here. John Zogby, who's a pollster. John, thanks for being with us. Do the interviews, like this interview last night, will it make much of a difference in this campaign?
Probably not. And I don't think it was designed to do that. Forgive me for the baseball metaphor, but no runs, no hits, no errors. I mean, essentially, she did no harm. Television, of course, is a visual medium first and foremost. And the pair, Harris and Walz, looked good. She was very cautious. She restated that her values have not changed. Frankly, she looked in command and presidential. I wouldn't say, as some critics have said, that Dana Bash, you know, engaged in softball questions. The conversation, you know, was challenging at some point. And this was not a policy wonk moment. This was not a time to issue white papers. It was a time to state who you are, what you stand for, what you believe. I think she did that. However, I don't think this was designed, you know, their acceptance was designed to be a game-changing moment, but to say, hey, look, things have been going well. Let's just keep it on an even keel. Let's not break new ground, generate any controversy.
And tell us how well things are going for her. What are the polls telling us about that?
Well, first of all, the overall numbers. She leads nationwide in 9 of the last 11 polls that have been taken. Now, let's be cautious. She doesn't lead by much. And frankly, Joe Biden wasn't behind by much. But Joe Biden had nowhere else to go. He was dominated by his age and mental acuity. This is a fresh face, and she has climbed. On the second level are the battleground states, and the assumption while Biden was president was that Democrat was going to lose the southern rim, you know, Nevada, Arizona, all the way to Georgia and North Carolina, therefore absolutely had to win the northern rim, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Now, several of those southern rim states are in play. But on the third level, she has dramatically increased her support among blacks, among Hispanics, and among young voters. So we go into Labor Day, I think the race is at equilibrium, but she has some momentum.
Okay, and then we look ahead to the next big event, which is less than 2 weeks away, that big debate between Kamala Harris, John, and Donald Trump. And you said that you're not sure that interview last night is going to make that much of a difference to the campaign. The debate, though, surely will.
It surely will. It will have a huge audience. And it won't simply be about Kamala Harris and her positions on things. Of course, as in any presidential debate, she'll have to be careful she doesn't make a mistake. But how does she handle Donald Trump? How does she respond to Donald Trump. This is why they're pushing for an open mic. But frankly, I don't think that's a game changer. I think obviously they'll participate in the debate no matter what. But she goes into the debate, at least for now, barring anything unforeseen, with some serious momentum. Will she be knocked off that game?
What do you think, Scott? Could she be knocked off the game faced by Trump? I mean, you described how he behaved when he debated Hillary Clinton back in 2016.
Well, we'll see. You know, making predictions, especially in the Trump era, is a fool's game. But I think here's my marker for where she goes back to this. You know, in 2020, when the vice presidential debate against Mike Pence, one of the key moments of that campaign was when Pence was trying to talk over her, and she just fixed him with a hard stare and said, "Excuse me, I'm speaking." And I think that's a marker of what she can do in a debate, including with Donald Trump. And it's precisely why the Harris campaign want an open mic, with candidates being able to jump in, whereas the Biden people, of course, wanted a closed mic.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, and John Zogby, by the way, is the gold standard when it comes to polling analysis. So I'm happy to support with what he said, which is the key word here is momentum. And that is that what is frustrating Trump, what's leading to all his insults, what's leading to some of the foul, and I mean really foul tweets he put out yesterday about Harris, is that he cannot get the news cycle. And right now, Harris and Waltz, their big success is they're getting the news cycle every day, except for one, when Bobby Kennedy endorsed Trump. Except for one day, they've had it since she entered the race. If they hold on to the news cycle and they continue to hold on to the news cycle after the first debate, it's a toss-up election. But John summed it up in one word, and that is momentum.
Yeah,
and that's what makes the difference.
I was reading that she is expected to spend this weekend prepping for that debate, that this is her window to do it. And you just can't imagine, Scott, the pressure that is on her, because we've all been told this is where her strength lies, both as a prosecutor and in Congress. This is what she is good at. She really has to perform on the 10th of September.
Yeah, but there's two things that strike me, Claire, in this era of social media, you know, like second by second attack politics. Two things is, first is Kamala Harris, while she has appeared nervous, and she appeared a bit nervous in that interview last night, and she did so at her Democratic National Convention speech, she has carried out the task, and she's come across as human because of that. And that leads me to the second point, that I don't think you have to do this in a debate where she has to land a knockout punch on Trump, you know, with some type of killer line. I think she just has to look normal versus Donald Trump, because if the pressure is on Harris, and I think she'll rise to the task, the pressure is also on Donald Trump. And mm-hmm. I think what we're finding right now is Trump isn't handling the pressure very well, which means he's not talking about the issues, but going further and further down into a place, uttering lines that I don't think undecided voters will like. So I think if Harris basically keeps it steady, while she may be nervous on that day, I think she'll have the advantage in that debate.
Well, let's see how it goes. We'll anticipate that one on the 10th of September. Scott Lucas, thank you for joining us. And the gold standard, John Zogby, thank you for being with us too. Now, next we're going to hear about the children who need serious orthodontic care but face 4-year waiting lists.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.